sixth lesson from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 19. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?"
And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself."
The Lord God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?"
The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?"
The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate."
The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel."
To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you."
And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return."
This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2 and 6 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined.
For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor,
Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end.
He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom,
establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
The third lesson from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3a, 4a, 6 through 9. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord.
But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth.
The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together.
And a little child shall lead them.
The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den.
They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
The fourth lesson from the book of Micah, Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5a. But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days.
Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel.
And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God.
And they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace.
This is the word of the Lord.
This is the fifth lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 35 and 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said,
Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.
But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her,
Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.
Mary said to the angel,
How will this be since I'm a virgin?
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.
Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.
And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. This is the sixth lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 1 and 3 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth.
And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord.
The seventh lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them,
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.
And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger.
This is the word of the Lord.
This is the eighth lesson from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, the first 12 verses. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him.
When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born.
They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared.
And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.
After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy.
And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
This is the word of the Lord.
From the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He was in the beginning with God.
All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light.
The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him.
He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him.
But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Reading from the first part of Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 6. Now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me." So far the words of our text. In our text from Matthew 11, it seems that Jesus had somehow disappointed John the Baptist and his disciples at the point of their highest expectations. Yet they and we are to learn that we can expect great things from Jesus, which is our theme this morning. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, let us begin by stating that we expect Jesus to deal understandingly with our problems, which is our first point. Jesus does not get all bent out of shape by the question which John asked at the start of the text. He sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" He could have asked, "Well, are you the real deal?" Who knows what John the Baptist may have heard or not heard while he was in prison? Perhaps John was bothered in prison when he heard nothing about Christ destroying fruitless trees. For recall, it was John who had said, "The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." But John clearly understood who Jesus was and believed in Christ Jesus, as it was John who had said of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It was Jesus who pays tribute to John. And yet Jesus' words come off as a warning. As these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" There's a lot going on here. Jesus is raising the concern over doubting the very word of God itself. Lest we forget, doubt is one of the greatest tools which the devil tries to use against the Christian, against you and I. Of doubt, Martin Luther wrote, The art of doubting is easy, for it is an ability that is born with us. We derive it from our parents. What else are we doing by our unbelief or doubt than charging God with a lie? When he gives his promise and confirms it with an oath, we are defying him to his face, as it were, and we are saying, Lord God, you are lying. We must constantly fight against doubt and unbelief. So great and difficult a matter is faith, end quote. Just as John the Baptizer had questions, so Jesus understands that for us, believing sometimes involves struggle. We may question God's ways in the world and in our own lives and wonder how Jesus is the answer. Sometimes we think we have all the answers to the struggles of someone else and what they're going through. Still, other times, we do not want to acknowledge the real struggle which clings and cleaves to each one of us, that of our sin. We think that Jesus can and should fix every little ill or dilemma that we face in life. While he could, he does not always do that. Sometimes there are lessons to be learned from our trials and tribulations. It could be as simple as, in what or in whom were you trusting? We should go to Jesus with our questions and our concerns and not let them fester and destroy our faith. Recall the words of Peter, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Faith is something that needs to be fed and nurtured, for in so doing, it receives from the hand of a gracious and loving God. Yes, we can expect great things from Jesus. Secondly, expect Jesus to do for us what needs to be done. Jesus offered to John the evidence which John was seeking. Jesus points to the deeds which he had performed, which had been foretold in the Old Testament. Jesus said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me. The preaching of the gospel is clear evidence that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one of God. Christ doesn't argue with us, but gives us the evidence that we need to strengthen our faith. The miracles which Jesus performed, which are recorded in Scripture, are evidence that he is the Savior. For the things that Jesus did, only he had the power to do. I am reminded of Jesus' words to Thomas after the resurrection. Then he said to Thomas, reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving but believing. So when doubts arise in our lives, we go back to the word, of which Paul said, and for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, You accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Jesus knew the things which we needed. That is why he came into this world. He fulfilled the law of God perfectly for us completely. Jesus is the sin-bearing Lamb of God who carried every last one of our sins and the sins of the whole world to the cross. And there Jesus bleeds. There our sins are forgiven. They're washed away. Jesus dies the death that we deserved, and he rose to give us victory through his resurrection. In the water and word of our baptism, he called each one of us by name, and he said, "You are mine." As we confess our sins, Jesus forgives them. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. In terms of our spiritual life, Christ can and will give us all things if we expect him to. May we never expect too little from Jesus. For it is our Savior Jesus who says to each one of us over and over again, "Be of good cheer. Your sins be forgiven you." To which Luther reminds us, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. In Jesus' name and completed work of salvation. Amen.